Okay, I want to thank everyone for coming tonight for pre-Shavuos teasers. This is certainly a unique Yom Tov of Shavuos, and it's going to be a unique Tikkun Leil Shavuos. After all the jokes about Tzachi, who's Baruch Hashem here, and he was Mekayim giving out the food to the Gashmias to power all of our Ruchnias, as well as giving out all of the Ruchnias before even approaching official Erev Shavuos. So Mirtzah Hashem, Tzachi will have the chance to learn tomorrow night, and so will we. That's right. That's right. That's right. Now, I said before that Tzachi provide us with both Gashmias and Ruchnias in advance, because what Tzachi and his team dropped off today was both the Gashmias that he always provides to help move us forward and keep us energized, as well as structure for our learning. Many of us have learning projects that we already have planned for Shavuos, and many of us are looking for learning projects to pick up of the Shavuos. I often think about, look around Leil Shavuos and Beth Abraham, and think about, for so many of us, Leil Shavuos is a unique opportunity to sit and learn for hours on end. Something that we often don't have the opportunity to do. Even when in theory you have the opportunity to do, sometimes it's hard to say, I'm going to sit down and be Mei Misafnim Ba'ohala Shel Torah. And Leil Shavuos is that time when, even if the rest of the year that's a challenge, but Leil Shavuos, we sit, we learn, we sit and go Shiurim, we sit and we learn B'chavrusa. And so we had the idea that maybe we could bring that tikkun in a box. Maybe we could provide not only the Gashmias, but to provide sugyas that you could sit and learn over the course of Leil Shavuos. And I wanted to, and maybe afterwards next week we'll have a chance over the days of Tashlumin of Shavuos and days of Beis Hamikdash, the 6 days that follow the Yom Tov of Shavuos, were the days when one would bring the Karbanos if one could not bring the Karbanos on Shavuos itself, the Karbanos of Aliyah LeRegel. And perhaps we'll have the opportunity ourselves next week to make a different type of Tashlumin. Maybe next week we have a chance to learn these sugyas together, Bechabura in a shir, after you've had the chance to make hachana and to learn Bechavrusa of the course of Leil Shavuos. So right now I just wanted to put out some teasers. I want to put out some teasers to get us thinking about some of the issues that you may find as you go through the Makoros, have the opportunity to share with you for tomorrow night. And we've decided, the Rav of Moshe Tzvi and I, so we decided to take on Megillas Rus as our shul project. Whether it's going to be Leil Shavuos, whether it's going to be over the course of the days of Shavuos, but to think about it as a shul, as a kehila, to take on Megillas Rus. And the booklets, the packets of Maror Hamakomos that you've received for tomorrow night will give many different perspectives on Rus. And one of the ones that I shared, what's the point, is to see Rus as a tool for us to learn Tanakh. And it opens with what I believe is the most fundamental Gemara in all of Shas to shape our Derech HaLimud and learning Tanakh. And from that Gemara, you'll be introduced to a Rishon who was most explicit and most consistent in applying that Gemara as a tool for learning, working his way throughout the Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Those Maror Hamakomos will then give you the opportunity, the chance to learn Megillas Rus with those lenses, and then to compare your results with his, to compare your results in applying that Gemara's tool to learn Rus to that Rishon. Just a little bit of a spoiler. That Rishon you'll discover very soon is the Ralbag. Ralbag definitely took that Gemara and Megillah's tool and applies it very consistently and very explicitly throughout Nach. The Ralbag on Rus is a little hard to get your hands on. It was not widely published until around 25 years ago. And there's a copy of the Ralbag. Then Sefaria republished what had been published around 25 years ago by Rabbi Shmaya Shulman. You'll have a chance to use the tools of the Gemara Megillah that the Rabag used so consistently. You'll have the chance to apply it to Megillas Rus, and then you'll compare your results to the Rabag's results. And there we go. Rosi has some very creative insights. And I hope you'll enjoy that experience in learning Tanakh, and hopefully a new vista and new lenses with which to learn Rus in particular and Tanakh in general. So that's number one. And then another sugya that you'll find there is a phantom. The phantom of Rus. I don't mean the phantom of the opera, nor do I mean Orpa. Although Orpa is certainly a phantom of Rus. She's one of those characters at the very beginning of Rus. Orpa makes a brief cameo appearance and exit stage left. But I'm going to draw your attention, and if you have the time over the course of Leil Shavuos to work on the sugya of Orpa, and what we're meant to learn from Orpa, that would be an interesting thing to look at. And perhaps you'll work on Orpa in the course of the Ralbag's tools for Rus. But now I want to draw your attention, the other packet of Ma'amar Kamos, to a different phantom of Megillas Rus. Not Orpa, who appears at the beginning, but Ploni Almoni, who appears at the very end. Another character who makes this like little cameo appearance. The mystery of this phantom figure. His very name is a mystery. Ploni Almoni, what exactly is his name? John Doe, the anonymous one. But the mystery is much deeper than just his name. You'll have a chance in those Ma'amar Kamos to try to work on content. What was his role? Why is he there? And what did he do? We don't hear a lot from him, but he makes one critical choice. And that's the entire role that he plays. I have a chance to explore the choice that he makes, the no. He just says no. He just says no. He says no to Rus. So we'll have to explore why. Just say no. But why does he say no? The psukim do give us a little bit of a hint. He says, "Pen ashchis es nachalasi." He declines the opportunity to marry Rus. He's worried about destroying his nachala. The two questions that you'll see, and they seem like two little questions. What exactly, what nachala? What inheritance? What inheritance is he ruining? What inheritance is he jeopardizing by marrying Rus? What could be wrong? The great tzaddikus, Rus HaMoavia. So what is his motivation? What does he mean by penashas and nachalasi? And you'll discover the different Rishonim with different perspectives. And then also the question, not just what did he do, but why is it so bad? We tend to see Ploni Almoni as a very negative figure. He's the one we don't even want to name who he is. Why so bad? Now, up until this point, the second sugya sounds like very small, narrow questions. We're focusing on one particular figure that just makes a cameo appearance at the very end of Megillas Esther. This Ploni Almoni, we don't even know what his name is. And now we're focusing on what did he do and why did he do it and why is it so bad? And it seems like detailed questions. You know, it's so often the case in learning, and this sugya is no exception, it's so often the case in learning that a very small question leads to very big answers. That you can often open a very large door by turning a very small key. It's so often the case in learning, and we've all seen it in the past, that sometimes it seems like a detailed question in a sugya. How you read this word, how you understand this. And so often it's a case in learning that when you follow, work on the answer to a detailed question, the question is small, but in the answer you come to very broad vistas. And you'll have the opportunity to experience that part of the excitement of Talmud Torah in the sugya, because aside from just making sense of this corner, mysterious corner of Megillas Rus, what's with Ploni Almoni and why? What's he doing and why is it so bad? We're going to discover in the hands of the Brisker Rav, a little studied Brisker Rav, that in answering this question we come to incredibly broad vistas. This little detail of a corner of Rus and understanding Ploni Almoni, it suddenly opens a window into understanding how all of Halacha works. Very improbable. You didn't expect to, you know, turn over this particular rock and find gold. But we do. Because in seeking to understand Ploni Almoni, the Brisker Rav introduces us to a perspective the Rambam offers on how you think about all of Halacha. which parts of halacha were taught when? What are the categories of Torah Shal Peh? How much did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai? It's going to explain a whole lot more about what was driving Ploni Almoni, what was, if you will, the machlokas between Ploni Almoni, who declined the opportunity to marry Rus, and Boaz, who seized that opportunity. Why is it that we look down on Ploni Almoni? If he made a life decision that seemed to be pretty reasonable, Penashchis is Nachlasi. And finally, it's going to give us a new surprise of a hidden connection. You know, we often wonder, how come we lain Megillas Rus on Shavuos? What does Rus have to do with Shavuos? You know, there are many answers that are given. One is that if you're following the agricultural timeline of what we're growing, what we're harvesting, a lot of the action is happening Shavuos time. Another famous answer given is that Rus is the backstory of David HaMelech, which we only discover in the very last pasuk. That Rus, in fact, all of this is a story of the great-grandmother of David HaMelech, and David HaMelech we associate with Shavuos for a variety of reasons. But you'll discover in studying the sugya of Ploni Almoni and the sugya of Torah Shel Peh, that this actually gives us a new connection between Rus and Shavuos. Because in fact, this little corner of Rus is insight into how halacha works and how much of halacha did HaKadosh Baruch Hu teach to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. So yet another, a whole new angle on what this Megillah has to do with Shavuos in the first place. And then finally, in addition to sort of the overall perspective on Tanakh, and the opportunity to learn Rus as a whole, that the Rabag Mar Makamos will offer you, and the opportunity to then dive into one particular angle in the cameo appearance that Ploni Almoni makes, and to study it in detail, and then to sort of expand out and see, as we're saying, the larger significance of what that tells us about how halacha works, and how that connects Rus back to Kabbalah Satorah. There's one more article in the Ma'ar Makamos, in the packet that Tzachi and his team were kind enough to deliver today, that I want to highlight for a couple of moments. And that's the sugya, an article that takes us through the sugya of, a practical sugya of Erev Tavshilin. Erev Tavshilin, we should remember to make an Erev Tavshilin tomorrow, because we have the first day of Yontif going into Shabbos. And the Erev Tavshilin, in a sense, speaks to expanding Kedusha and to feeling many emotions. And let me explain very briefly what I mean. Again, a teaser. Hopefully you'll have a chance to dig into this more deeply over the course of Leil Shavuos and the 2 days of Shavuos. You know, when you think about Erev Tavshilin, so often we think of it sort of like a detail, like on the to-do list. Ah, I got to remember to make an Erev Tavshilin. You know, that was a... You know, halachic rarities, you know, those calendaric rarities. Oh, this year it works out that we got to do it in Tishrei. Oh, now it works out we have to do it Shavuos time. Right? Yontif goes into Shabbos, so you have to make an Erev Tavshilin, an Erev Yontif. But the truth is, you'll have this article hopefully will give you the opportunity to stop and consider. You put aside the yapchik, you put aside the gefilte fish, whatever it is, that food, Shabbos food that you've already prepared before Yontif comes in, that represents the beginning of the preparation for Shabbos that is happening before Yontif, and that allows us to continue to prepare for Shabbos over the course of Yontif. It really captures sort of this intriguing interplay of Yontif and Shabbos. What happens when Yontif and Shabbos are neighbors, and how we try to balance those two. There's, it's Erev Tavshilin highlights the fact that this first day of Yontif is also going to be Erev Shabbos, and we're going to try to balance. Normally on Yontif, we only take care of Yontif itself, Tzarech Hayom, counterbalancing that with the need for Kavod Shabbos, need for make Acharonos for Shabbos in advance. And you'll have a chance to see the sugya. The sugya of Erev Tavshilin, not only Maseches Beitza, but the gain under the hood, and understanding how Erev Tavshilin works, is rooted in a very fascinating Gemara in Pesachim. This article will point you to. I believe that in that article, the Ma'ar Makomos don't appear in full, but the footnotes I know are very complete. So if you want to, you'll have the opportunity to look the Pilgemaras off the shelves and look some things up. And that Gemara and Pesachim sort of sheds the light, peeking under the hood, the underlying mechanics that behind the Erev Tavshilin. And you'll learn as well, you'll emerge from that sugya with greater clarity as to why it is that the Magen Avraham recommended and recorded the minig of his town several centuries ago was to always make early Shabbos on an Erev Tavshilin Shabbos. That he records, that was a minig, that was a minig at the time, a good four centuries ago. You'd always make, if it was an Erev Tavshilin Shabbos, it was a Yontif Erev Shabbos, it would always make early Shabbos, not just as a matter of practicality, but he explains, once you understand what the underlying halachic dynamic that drives Erev Tavshilin, we recognize why it's valuable to make sure to bring in Shabbos early, to stop doing malacha early, and you'll discover that in turn not only explains why there's value to making early Shabbos this week, but it also gives insight into making early Shabbos in general. It gives in that Magen Avraham gives insight, and the sugya of Erev Tavshilin together give insight into what goes on every time we make early Shabbos. And I would close that if you choose to work through that article and choose to look up the Gemaras and the other Makoros that article organizes, presents for you, after enjoying the halachic and lamdish dynamic of the sugya of Erev Tavshilin of Tosafot Shabbos, you may also want to take a step back. And it's so often the case, and the Rav spoke, Soloveitchik spoke very beautifully about the concept of, and leave you with this, the concept of the philosophy of halacha. That after one seeks to understand the halachic sugya, lamdash sugya, in detail, with depth, and understand, you know, what are the underlying halachic principles, and what are the issues, and what are the chakiras, after digging deep into the sugya, the rabbi used to say it's important to sort of take a step back and ask, what's the philosophy of the halacha? What are the larger moral, ethical, religious principles that this sugya reflects? And sometimes there are beautiful surprises. Sometimes it's obvious when you'll get into the lumdus of Kiddush, it's not surprising that you'll come out with a greater appreciation of Shabbos. But in digging into Erev Tavshilin and digging into Tosafot Shabbos, after you dig deeply into the sugya, take a step back, you may discover that Erev Tavshilin gives us insight into feeling many emotions. And to go back to how we started this topic, sort of thinking about how we balance Yontif and Shabbos, how we balance different values, how we balance the Kedusha of now and the Kedusha of tomorrow. And that's something, how to feel different emotions is something that we often grapple with in many different contexts. You can consider whether Erev Tavshilin gives you an interesting model to think about. And Erev Tavshilin Tosafot Shabbos also speak to the notion of adding Kedusha. And you'll see that the Magen Avraham specifically speaks about, seems to understand that in Tosafot Shabbos, as reflected in the sugya of Erev Tavshilin, have a concept and a model for what it means to add Kedusha where there wasn't Kedusha before, or what it means to add more Kedusha where there wasn't that degree of Kedusha before. And to think about our capacity, human capacity, a Jew's capacity to feel many emotions, to be in touch with different perspectives at the same time, and a Jew's capacity to take Kedusha and expand it. And that's so much of what Shavuos is all about. I think I mentioned this to some, shared with some of you earlier at the beginning of Sfiras HaOmer. Bnei Yisachar, I will close with this perspective. Bnei Yisachar speaks about how Sfiras HaOmer is a transition from Pesach to Shavuos, from the Korban HaOmer, which is barley, which represents Machal Behema, to Shavuos L'Shtei HaLechem, not only wheat, but Chametz, the epitome of human food, the epitome of human creativity, human impact. And he said this reflects what the trail the Jews traveled, not only physically from Mitzrayim to Har Sinai, but developmentally and spiritually from Pesach, which Yetzias Mitzrayim was handed to us on a silver platter. We were almost entirely passive. Isarusa de la Eila, to use the term from Kabbalah, from Sifrei Chassidus. Pesach came, was a gift from above. We came to Shavuah 7 weeks later. We already became junior partners in our destiny. We had grown to the point where we could say Nasa Vinishma. We're buying into this. That's the trail that we review and travel again afresh every single year over the course of Sfiras Omer. And now we're finally there. We're at the doorstep. We're standing at the doorstep of Kabbalah Satorah tonight. We're standing at the doorstep of reconnecting to the day of Nasa Vinishma, of seeking to become every year more active participants, seizing opportunities. We want this and we are buying in, we are opting in to a life that's enriched by the obligations of Torah. Nasa Vinishma. A Jew has the capacity to feel many emotions, and a Jew has capacity to add Kedusha, that some of the philosophy of Shavuos in general, and of the sugya of Erev Tavshilin, and Tosafot Shabbos in particular. I hope you will enjoy these sugyas over the course of Leil Shavuos and over the course of the days of Shavuos. I look forward to hopefully seeing you from a distance over the course of Yantiv of Shavuos. And Mirtz Shem, we will reconvene over the days of Tashlumen of Shavuos next week to work through these sugyas together. Have a wonderful, happy Yontif. We should have a refreshed and renewed, revitalized Kabbalah Satorah. Yashar Koyach, Avraham.